Hey, welcome to the Time Blueprint. On today's show, Frank and I are going to be talking about income planning mistakes, the biggest ones that people tend to make, why you want to avoid them. We're going to dive into all of that and more on today's show. Let's get to it.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Time Blueprint with Frank Oliver of Oliver Asset Management. Here, we break down taxes, income, money, and estate planning, giving you the tools to make informed financial decisions and aim for better retirement outcomes. Your host is financial advisor Frank Oliver, the president and founder of Oliver Asset Management. He's the author of Your Time Is Now, sharing the essentials you need to know to craft a comprehensive and customized retirement plan. Dive in with us as we offer clear strategies and straightforward advice, all designed to empower you in your financial journey. Welcome to the Time Blueprint.
So Frank, we'll be talking income planning mistakes here in just a moment. But first of all, welcome back to the show. Good to be with you again.
Good to see you too. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. Yes, we had a couple of week break. We're back at it now.
Right. You look different.
Thank you. I've lost a few pounds. And
good for you, man.
Just in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, just by cutting your hair, did you actually?
That took off 1 or 2 pounds, I think.
I bet.
Just the
bet.
Hair and a little bit of beard
last
action.
Last 10 pounds, but the beard and the hair were another 5, so you're
right.
Looking good.
That's right. Right. Yeah, it helped hit the mark, I think.
I shaved my winter beard too. I don't know if you noticed.
It does. Looks right? Good. Yeah, you got short sleeves today.
Does it make me look younger?
It does.
All right.
And you look ready for summer.
I'm ready, man.
Yeah.
I'm ready. 70 degrees this week.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. If for anyone living in the area, we just all experienced these like 100 mile per hour winds.
It was insane, wasn't it?
We didn't blow away. Yeah. So that's good.
Well, my furniture did.
Yes, that's
my neighbor's construction materials did. And I think our horse almost blew away.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So Brittany gets up in the morning to go feed and we got our gates are chained and locked, but sometimes the locks kind of wiggle loose. So we got a chain around it as well.
Okay.
So she gets up at 6 a.m. to go down and feed the horses. She's like, "Where's Vita?" And she looks down at the neighbor's house, like a couple houses down. And we live on 35 acres. So a couple houses down is like a quarter of a mile, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, "There she is again." Oh, all the neighbors are laughing. She just goes down there and parties with other horses at night. And, you know, so,
And it's just like the wind just probably was just,
it
just
broke
kind of
a link. It
wind.
Broke a link on the chain. It was blowing so hard. Yeah.
Wow.
So I guess we need to buy a better chain.
Yeah.
Lesson learned. Yeah.
I remember going shopping and walking around and in that wind. And there were times where I was walking back to the car and literally.
Yeah.
Literally took a step backwards because the wind blew so strong.
It was like, I watched
that's a new experience.
Piece of lawn furniture blow up our mountain.
Okay.
And I'm not talking like it
down
just
the
flipped it a couple times and it didn't go down. It
just
picked it up and launched it uphill like 10 feet. It wasn't that far, but it's pretty extreme.
Yeah. That's saying something.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway.
Yeah.
We're
over that.
We all made it
that's
through.
Right.
Okay.
It's good. Yeah.
And start to enjoy the warmer weather that is arriving. So very cool. Well, hey, let's dive into some income planning mistakes here, Frank, because first of all, before we get to the actual mistakes, there's a reason we're not just saying financial mistakes or retirement mistakes, but specifically income planning mistakes, because that's really what it all boils down to, right?
When you retire, absolutely. Yeah. You have to turn those assets that you've accumulated and turn them into a steady income stream.
Yeah. So one we won't even really cover is just if you don't have an income plan, well, that's a mistake. So that one we don't need to say any further.
It's a big one.
Think. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So let's look at the more specifics of when you may have an income plan, but you might be using it in the wrong way or planning for it in the wrong way.
Very good.
So first one on the list is don't plan to be retired for years, plan to be retired for decades. Somebody didn't have that right. That's kind of the first mistake.
Yeah, we run financial plans for everybody like we've talked about during these podcasts, for the last 6 or 9 months. And our software actually defaults to age 100. So we do plan for decades. And it's an interesting comment that I get from about 90% of the prospects that come in saying, I'm not going to live to be 100. I don't want to live to be 100. There's no way I'm going to live to be 100. Nobody in my family's lived to be 100. And we still try to coach them that you really need to look at planning for as much longevity as possible. And that does mean decades.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're living longer and longer every day. And I had a client right here in Longmont that lived to be 106 years old.
Wow.
And people just shake their head. And at 105, she was a rock star. At 105 and a half,
isn't
she was
amazing?
Still okay. And then she did pass away peacefully, just right about 106. Okay. We took her to a Rockies baseball game at 100 years old and celebrated with her. So people can live a good long life. I don't think that, I think they're still used to maybe the smoking era and, that the past generations that weren't quite as healthy as we are today. So, and medical advancements. So,
and there's still things that can take us out, but there are so many fixes for the things that knocked out many of us in the past.
Right. And exactly.
I'll just share a real quick story. My grandmother broke her neck during the pandemic. tripped, fell,
no kidding,
broke her neck.
Right.
And she's 92 now.
Okay.
And she's still rocking and rolling and traveling hundreds right? of miles to go visit right? family. She was out here to visit us in Colorado recently.
Wow.
I mean, she is, you talk about a rock star. She's
sure.
a rock star just with a broken neck. And she's like, ah. Yeah. Midwestern stock. She's like, whatever.
Yep. Yeah. I got clients getting knee surgeries in their 80s.
Yeah.
I had a client
so
that
they
would
can
go
stay active. Right.
I had a client that was still skiing up until he's almost 90 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
incredible.
You do have to plan
about.
For decades. Absolutely.
I fall once skiing and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'll ever come out again.
I know, right?
I can't imagine doing it at 90. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So easy to see why that is a mistake if you're not planning to be retired for decades.
Absolutely.
All right. What about this one? Starting Social Security too early. Yeah. Is that a common ill?
It's a common question. Yeah. We field Social Security questions almost more than any other mm-hmm. question. And, you know, it took me a while to understand, but I think as I get closer to 60, I can kind of see it. It's your money. You paid into Social Security.
Yeah.
But in some regards, you view it as the easiest place to receive that income from, because it's either you take Social Security first or you start to spend your own money first. Mm. I think it's harder to go from being a saver for 40 years and then start to spend that money that you've worked so hard to save. Or I'll take the path of least resistance and just elect Social Security.
And just mentally, you don't see Social Security as a big pot of money where you yeah. do see that in your own account.
You don't see right? your Charles Schwab statement going down a little bit because you're taking money right. out. You just see the Social Security statement, and it's just in a weird mental psyche way, it's almost like free money. So okay. I kind of get that mindset.
Yeah.
But with Social Security growing at 8% a year, it's a tax-free benefit. People don't realize that. So you're growing a tax-free benefit. Social Security is only taxable when you add other income, ordinary income, unearned income, interest income, dividend income, any income source versus, not versus, but with the exception of a Roth IRA or Roth 401k,
okay.
all income that you receive pretty much is going to stack taxes on Social Security. But nonetheless, it's still a very tax-friendly benefit. So you want to grow the tax-friendly benefit. It grows at 8% a year, and you get a cost of living adjustment on it. So it really yeah. merits some pretty critical thought processes when you're looking to elect Social Security. And electing at 62 is probably an answer. You know, from yeah. a 30,000 foot level, I would say don't do unless you give it serious consideration and run a yeah. plan, run a financial plan, know your budget, know your assets, know when you're going to retire.
Yeah.
So yeah.
some people may go through the planning process and it makes sense to do it at 62, but
sometimes,
as a default, it's not really the right way to
yeah,
go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think by default you should ever look at electing Social Security at any age. You should really,
yeah. Yeah, yeah,
you know, unless you're pushing yeah. it out as late as possible, but you should run that into the plan. But some people will have to elect at 62, and it's there for that reason. So that's okay. Yeah. But you're right. It should not be a default by any stretch of the imagination.
Don't assume on any of these questions right. is definitely a lesson. In fact, that's our third one, is to not assume about something specific. And that's
right.
when it comes to bonds as the main source of your retirement income. This is sort of drawing on that old line of thinking, right? Get out of stocks and into bonds for
right.
your retirement.
Yeah, bonds have underperformed. Fixed income in general has underperformed for probably the last 10 or 15 years, maybe.
Yeah,
it's been a safe haven, but it hasn't been a safe enough haven, I think, to merit a bit large portion of the portfolio due to its underperformance. Additionally, being that safe haven, in 2022, everything got whacked.
Yeah,
bonds were a huge underperformer. Bonds got hit as hard as equities. Mm. So, you know, the fixed income market did not hold up in 2022. So the safe haven it was supposed to provide did not. So we have a lot of clients that, you know, their target date fund or maybe another advisor, a different plan that they had really adhere to the age-based strategy, we call okay. it. You're 65 years old, right? You should have 35% equity, 65% fixed income.
Yeah.
I totally
That's the rule of 100.
It's a
right?
rule of yeah. 100, exactly. And I totally disagree with that.
Yeah.
Let's say you have, you know, $200,000 or $2 million. Let's say you have Social Security benefits of $2,000 or $4,000. Let's say you retired at 60 or you're retiring at age 70. Let's say you have a pension or you do not have a pension. Shouldn't that really dictate where your funds should be invested?
Yeah.
If you have $2 million, for example, and you only need $200,000 of that to live off of for 5 years or $500,000 of that to produce income for 5 years, does that mean that the entire $2 million needs to be more conservative? Can you yeah. see how that would kind of compromise the long-term growth if you put it all into that category?
You want to kind of segment your dollars.
We call it bucketizing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You get a cash bucket for whatever 6 to 12 months living expenses are. You got a 3 to 5 year bucket for your income. Mm-hmm. And once those two buckets are satisfied, then you can actually grow your money properly.
Okay.
And the third bucket, because we know the markets will get fickle on us from time to time. they've never been down for 5 years. So if your entire bucket's more conservative because you're using the rule of 100 age-based model, then your entire portfolio is going to grow more conservative where it doesn't have to.
It's just not efficient.
It's not efficient. It's not good for estate planning either. You know, probably 80% of my clients will never burn through all of their assets.
Right.
So if they're not investing a little growthier, then the family will be compromised just by...
Yeah, your time horizon's even further in that case, right?
Sure, exactly. That's exactly right. Well,
I'm going to use the word bucketize in my next budget conversation with Connie. Yeah. We're going to bucketize this money and just make me sound smarter. I like that. All right. I'm interested in your thoughts on this next one as we talk about income planning mistakes. Inflation. Don't ignore inflation. Right. Well, who's in ignoring inflation right now, Frank? I feel like it's top of mind for everybody.
I know. Even though inflation, I think, is starting to come back down by all the data points that we're reading, I'm not sure that the conversations in my office with clients that they're resonating with those data points.
Yeah.
They still think still that inflation is pretty high.
Yeah.
Well, just because inflation pauses or stabilizes or levels out doesn't
like
mean that we
back
see
to what we were used to.
That the cheeseburger that's $15 is not going to drop back down to $7.
Yeah, I had one the other day.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, cheeseburgers that are $15 don't taste as good as they did when they were $7.
That's right. They don't taste twice as good, do they?
Yes. I'm almost like I'm not going to order another cheeseburger at this point because I'm like, they just can't.
No.
I can get a full entree for the same price now. So like a cheap burger and fries just doesn't
right.
Doesn't
you're
do
exactly
anymore.
Right. No. I
also
agree.
Helps with the weight loss probably.
Not yeah, you have laid off the cheeseburgers, haven't you?
Inflation helped lose weight.
Not for me. Yeah, I'm glad it's working for you. Yeah.
So pay attention to inflation. Even if it subsides though, we need to be paying attention, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is the first 12 or 20 months that I can remember in my 22 years of doing this that you can actually put some money into cash and partially hedge against the high inflation that we're having right now. But when people are worried about volatile stock markets and they're worried about investing and they just, maybe they don't understand it or they're uncomfortable, they've been coached properly.
Yeah.
They do have too big of a position, maybe in some fixed income or sitting in cash.
Okay.
Historically CDs, gosh, since I've been in business, you know, it's rarely that I've seen a CD, you know, jump over 3%. Okay. So when you're getting CDs at 1 or 2%, now inflation's maybe been running at about 2%, but you're really not growing your assets greater than the rate of inflation. So you really do need to focus on inflation and make sure that your investments are not just hedging, but maybe exceeding, you know, inflation.
Yeah.
And even though inflation's been extremely high, I mean, we were strong double-digit gains last year all across the board in 23. So, you know, we doubled plus, you know, the rate of inflation.
It wasn't all bad news.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
So,
Okay, very good. All right, last one, at least for the moment. And this isn't a comprehensive list of income planning mistakes, but a couple of good things to get you thinking about income planning today is to not forget to create lifetime income streams other than just Social Security.
Right.
It goes back to that point of Social Security being kind of too much of a focus for some people.
Right.
Overlooked by others, but the main theme of the story is create other income streams.
Yeah, and I mean, if we go back to the fixed income models or dividend paying stocks, those are obviously, you know, some viable ways, probably even better today than they have been, you know, just due to a little bit higher interest rate environment to produce some sort of, you know, fixed income returns. You know, and I think people overlook annuities, to be quite honest.
Okay.
Annuities are fully, you know, fully principal protected. The ones that we used on the index side of the world, and they do produce a nice rate of return, and it does produce a steady stream of income without any stock market risk. So those are some options as well. We've been utilizing a instrument or a financial vehicle that's been around for quite some time, but not necessarily in the retail world. So for us, maybe in the last 18 to 24 months, and they're called structured notes and issued by the biggest banks in the world. They also offer great levels of principal protection, either full or you choose how much protection you want. And they'll produce income as well at a very high guarantee for you. So a lot of options.
So there's a lot of ways to create an income in retirement.
Absolutely.
Is there a number? I mean, I think of income stream as I'm getting a paycheck.
Sure.
So I could get one from Social Security. I could get one from an annuity.
Yep.
I could get one from just withdrawals from my 401k or whatever the case may be. How many would you say the average retiree, how many income streams do they have? How many different paychecks are they getting each month?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on when you elect Social Security, but you know, if you're you and your spouse, there'd be two streams of fixed income coming in or guaranteed predictable income. And then we do like the annuities for, you know, to fill that gap, you know, to produce that middle bucket, that 3 to 5 year income bucket, that or some income structure notes or some income notes that do a good job. So, you know, probably 3 to 4
okay.
different predictable streams of
before
income.
Before you even get to later on, maybe withdrawing certain amounts from an account if needed.
Yeah, and I mean, it depends on where you want, you know, so we also look at income from a tax planning standpoint.
Okay.
Because if you have three different tax classifications, you have your tax deferred, your taxable, and your tax-free buckets in place, and they all have some funds inside of those accounts, we really don't think that you should pull everything from one bucket.
Okay.
You know, if you pull everything from your tax deferred bucket, meaning an IRA or 401k, all of those funds are going to be taxed as ordinary income tax. Could put you in a higher tax bracket and create higher taxes on Social Security.
Okay.
If you pull it from the tax-free bucket, that goes without saying, there's no taxes and there's no taxes on Social Security. The middle bucket falls in between those two. It can be tax-free, but even fully taxable is probably going to be substantially less than ordinary income tax. That would be a long-term capital gains.
Okay. Gotcha.
But if you can produce income from those three buckets in a predictable manner, you can produce predictable income and greatly reduce your taxes as well.
Yeah, that's great.
So, yeah.
So you want to kind of reserve some of that flexibility for the future and not just use all of one bucket.
Totally.
Just depending on what happens with taxes or the market,
right.
You want to be able to withdraw from different things based on how the year's gone.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Right, yep, that's okay. Right. Yep.
Very good. Well, there you have it. Some of the key income planning mistakes. If you are kind of watching or listening to the podcast today and going, ooh, I'm making some of those mistakes, or I haven't thought about when to take Social Security, or yeah, I'm not really sure how inflation is going to impact the future of my plan. Well, that should be a good key that it's time to get a plan in place. And a great place to start is with Frank and the great team at Oliver Asset Management. You can get in touch with them by going to oliverassetmanagement.com or by calling 720-897-TIME. You can set up a free strategy session to find out what the planning process is like, go into a little bit more detail on that, and get your plan in place after just, a couple of meetings, Frank, and people are already in a better financial spot usually?
Absolutely. It just brings a great level of understanding. I think there's some clarity added with a few meetings. And
some people just need confidence, right, in their plan.
They need confidence, coaching, just understanding it, seeing things on the computer screen. You know, just come into play in the planning software makes a big difference for people. So
it's very easy to schedule. Again, you can do that online at oliverassetmanagement.com. Free strategy session with Frank and the team. All right, there's more coming up on the Time Blueprint. We're going to get to know Frank a little bit better next. We got a fun question to tackle this week. And don't miss our viewer question coming up to end the show as well. We've got a good one from Randall. So we'll dive into that and more coming up next. All right, Frank, it's time for our getting to know you question on today's episode, and we're going back to the school days.
Right.
And the question is, what was your favorite grade in school? You get K through 12 to pick, I suppose.
This should be everybody's favorite grade, right? Okay. Don't you think 12th grade should be everybody's favorite grade?
I saw that coming for you.
Did you see that coming for me?
I saw that.
My personality exude that a little bit.
You're ready for school to wrap up.
You got 9 months before freedom, right? you got your entire, you know, K through 12 is behind you with the exception of the last 9 months.
Yep.
I mean, it's football games and hanging out with your friends and, you know, just a little bit closer to adulthood, getting ready for college, you know, putting that part of your life behind you and just kind of advancing that next step. And it's just, it was a fun year for me. I really enjoyed that.
It's pretty hard to beat senior year. I was right there with you. Eighth grade was pretty fun. I was the school class president in eighth grade, and you're top of the school again in middle school. So
you're a stud.
It's similar to that senior year, you know? Yeah. But senior year was great. I had one class where I kind of fell into this weird nebulous, I needed a class and didn't have anything to take. And so they put me in just like this independent study. So I basically got to spend the whole year just like doing kind of whatever I wanted to.
Wow.
Not the whole day, but just for that one class. But still, I got to hang out in the library and just go around and take pictures of students. I ended up doing this project for the senior graduation. They played video and I took photo and video. Mm. It was kind of toward what I wanted to do, obviously, here now hosting podcasts and stuff. So it was a valuable thing, actually.
Yeah. Were you a car guy at all?
A card guy?
A car.
Oh, car guy.
Yeah, like a driving car, you know?
I loved driving. Oh,
sure. See, I didn't have
a cool car, but I had a car.
I didn't have a cool car either, but, you know, I was raised in Greeley, so we used to cruise 10th Street, and then when we got bored with that, we'd go to Fort Collins, and then here in Obama, we'd cruise Main Street. So that was a big deal when we were in high school. People loved it. You can't do it anymore. Nobody does it.
The best day of my life was the day I got my car.
Absolutely.
When I was 16, I put my life savings down on a car that a grandma had owned for a few years. And
Got my grandma's car.
Okay, very nice. My dad worked in pest control. He serviced houses. So when it was time, he was like, I'll be on the lookout for one. And he called one day and he's like, I found one. It's been driven by this lady. It's got low miles. It's a great fit.
Perfect. Yeah. So we both had our grandma's cars.
We both had grandma cars.
Look how we turned out.
Yeah. Turned out all right.
Freedom was great. Yes.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. So yeah, senior year, I'm right there with
you. The best, yeah.
Very cool. All right, well, that's getting to know us a little bit better on today's show. Now we get to answer a listener and viewer question. All right, so this question comes to us from Randall. If you want to submit a mailbag question, you can do that on oliverassetmanagement.com. Just check the description of today's show for a link to where you can submit those questions. All right, here's what Randall says. I haven't decided on a specific retirement date yet, but hopefully it'll be sometime in the next 4 years. With all of the recent market volatility, should I just move my retirement savings to cash until everything blows over?
Randall, that's a common question and a very good question. I'm going to say no, absolutely not. And I know that it's unnerving when the markets rattle like this and when that volatility increases and the VIX rises up. There's a lot of studies and JP Morgan, we call them JPM. JP Morgan has a very extensive piece on 75% of the people that pull out during volatility will miss 75% of the gains when the market recovers. So there's also some pieces out there that I can't give you the exact stats, but it's 80%+ of the time that when the markets have an intra-year low or an intra-year decline, that they still finish positive.
Interesting.
So if you're reluctant of the markets and you pull out because there's an intra-year low and then you get back in at the wrong time, you'll miss, the odds are you'll miss a substantial part of that recovery.
Yeah.
And it's happened a lot of times. So we coach people not to, and again, if you got the three buckets, you're bucketizing, like we talk about all the time, right? You got your cash bucket, your income bucket, and your growth bucket. The growth bucket's always going to move around. But you just have to look historically how that growth bucket's treated you if you left it invested.
It's kind of like Randall's asking about market timing without using that bad word of market timing. Right.
Yeah. It's not timing the market. It's time in the market. Because
you got to be right twice if you're trying to time the market. Not just when to get out, but also when to get back in.
And that's what people
miss,
that?
Right?
Yeah. How do you time that?
Yeah.
Very even difficult. With all the research and analytics that we do and the managers we listen to, you can't time that.
Nobody can do it consistently.
That's right.
Right. Okay. Very good. There's your answer, Randall. Hopefully that helps you out a little bit.
Yeah, I hope that did help, Randall.
If you have any questions similar to Randall's, something else on your mind about financial retirement planning, don't hesitate to reach out to Frank. You can come in, get your own time blueprint, go through the planning process with Frank and the team, and get well on your way to a more confident retirement and financial future. You can also pick up a copy of Frank's book when you come in as well. Time Blueprint. Frank's got a copy of it here for our viewing audience. Yes. Yeah, check it out. And you can read through there. It gives you some great information as well to just kind of reinforce what we talk about here on the show, what you're going to talk about in your appointments as well. Frank, thanks for the help. Good to see you this week.
Thank you, Walter. Yeah. Yep, good seeing you, buddy.
We'll see everybody next time right back here on Time Blueprint.
Advisory services offered through Creative One Wealth, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Creative One Wealth, LLC, and Oliver Asset Management are unaffiliated entities. Licensed insurance professional. Respond and learn how financial products, including life insurance and annuities, can be used in various planning strategies for retirement. The information contained herein is based on our understanding of current tax law. The tax and legislative information may be subject to change and different interpretations. We recommend that you seek professional tax advice for applicability to your personal situation.